Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
May God bless Ted Kennedy, and may he rest in eternal peace.
I've always tried to be a faithful Catholic, Your Holiness, and though I have fallen short through human failings, I've never failed to believe and respect the fundamental teachings of my faith.
But when it came to issues like defending innocent human life from abortion, he was not consistent at all with the Catholic faith he professed.
The bad news is we are in a post-denominational age. The good news is we are in a confessional age. Old institutions are tottering and teetering. The future belongs to those who dare to confess their dogma.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
I am such a creature of habit. I like routine. I'll admit it. I like things to be just the way they are and stay that way all the time. Well, we're going to shake things up a little bit on this Friday on Issues, etc. Shake them up for good, hopefully. Do a little, I think we'd call it a format change for our regular Friday lineup. See how it works. And I think it's a really good idea. We never get to all our listener email. And even with this new schedule here, I don't think we're still going to get to all of it. And we always like to hear from our listeners. So we've decided to combine the two best things that we have, the two best means that we have for hearing from our listeners and responding to them into 1 hour here this first hour on this Friday afternoon, Issues Etc. Listener email and Issues Etc. comment line for the first hour of the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You might be asking yourself, well, where did Blog of the Week go? Where did the Soundbite of the Week go? Into the second hour of the program. We'll have Blog of the Week a little bit later in the first hour, and then we'll talk about Moses. He's remembered this day by the church. Talk about a towering figure. What does the conclusion of the book of Deuteronomy say about Moses? It says, no prophet has ever risen greater than Moses. And we have to say that with a footnote, except one, Jesus, our Savior. I think that's where Moses was pointing us. Dr. Nathan Jastrom will be our guest in the second hour of the program. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week at 4:30. That means we play four soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio, and then you get a chance to pick which one you think should be the Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address this Friday, September the 4th, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or if you're following us on Twitter, just Twitter us with questions or comments @issuesetc. Listener email.
You know, if we were big into memos here, I would issue you a memo.
Mm-hmm.
We're not running a local St. Louis radio station like where we used to be at. 4:30. At 4:30, we'll do this. Didn't even give the time zone. Habits are hard to break.
Well, they're very hard.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think you just issued your memo.
Oh, okay. All right. Lots of email already on yesterday's program about this Muslim teenage girl ran away from home in Ohio. Got some foster parents, a pastor down in Florida. She converted to Christianity, afraid to go back because her dad's threatened to kill her, allegedly threatened to kill her. Here's Kurt in BB, Arkansas. Haven't there been honor killings in St. Louis? Kurt writes, can we believe a Muslim father whose daughter has dishonored his family? I don't feel there's a comparison if the table was turned, writes Kurt. This is Irene. If this girl was telling the Department of Social Services of threats to her life by her dad without the Christian component, what would the response be? Also, we don't know what type of Christian she is. Is she a decisional or a true believer? Since we can't judge her faith, I think that the faith question should be set aside and the case be judged on the basis of death threats. Is it against the law to utter death threats for any reason? If so, then the father should be dealt with. It does sound like a rat. Bigger issues is in the mix since they are missing the point of the death threats and the girl's safety. Aren't death threats to one's children enough cause to take a precaution, writes Irene.
Well, you know what concerned me about this story, and we'll get back to some more of those emails on that subject in just a second. What concerned me about that story, the way it was covered, was that it was definitely left with the impression that this notion of honor killing is a thing of radical Islam. They talked in the story from Good Morning America, and we played the audio yesterday. They talked in the story about whether or not this girl's family attended a mosque that advocated radical Islam, that advocated terrorism. It's really not relevant. I mean, is it important? Yes, of course it is, but it's not relevant to whether or not her father may have threatened her with an honor killing. Because for most Muslims in most Muslim countries, an honor killing wouldn't be considered radical. Not in the least. Now, do they want to carry them out? Probably not. But it's part of their teaching, part of their practice, taught in their holy writings. The real question is this father going to be consistent with what Muslims should believe according to their own writings, according to their own example given by Muhammad, or is he going to depart from that? It's not a question of radical or less than radical Islam. It's a question of Muslims who adhere to their teachings or not. And I do wonder whether or not if the roles are reversed, we're really talking about the same thing, because Christians have no corollary to honor killing, which is why I ended the hour yesterday the way I did. The contrast between these two religions that so many people mistakenly think are kissing cousins.
Kathy writes on this same subject, "This is a difficult call, but my gut tells me that the minor should be returned to her parents. In this day and age, children can be very manipulative. I would, however, have a social worker assigned to the case to visit the home to ensure the safety of your lady." Love the show, writes Kathy.
And it has to be a question of, I mean, the courts cannot look at this as a religious issue. They're not equipped to do that. The courts have to look at this as a father who may have threatened her daughter, with bodily harm or with death. And I think that's where our listeners got it quite right yesterday and already today. And that's the real issue for the courts to consider. Is this father going to make good on the alleged threat? Did he make the threat? And that's the basis for either returning her to her parents, her Muslim parents, or not. Next, a comment from our comment line about the infamous Pete Seeger.
Hi, guys. It's Deborah from Dallas. I just have one thing to say. Jeff, you ought to be ashamed of yourself that you do not know who Pete Seeger is, okay? Famous folk singer. Hello, Seeger. All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Okay, we had a little mix-up. Was it Friday last week? Is that when it was? Craig and I had a conversation either Friday or Thursday last week where we were talking about Bob Seeger. We both are fans of Bob Seeger and his music. And when I went on the air, I said something about Pete Seeger. And these two guys in the control room, for some reason, thought I was an idiot. And there's no such thing as a Pete Seeger. What's a Pete Seeger? And then someone called in and said, Pete Seeger and of I Have a Hammer fame, I mistakenly concluded that he was talking about the Peter of Peter, Paul, and Mary. In fact, he was not talking about the Peter of Peter, Paul, and Mary, but the author, the actual composer of the song was made famous by Peter, Paul, and Mary, Pete Seeger, a folk singer from the 1960s, who has a very strange LCMS connection, doesn't he? Doesn't the real Pete Seeger have a strange connection to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod back in those days?
Well, according to listener Tom in San Angelo, Texas, he does. He said, Pete Seeger wrote, If I Had a Hammer, but he is not the Pete of Peter, Paul, and Mary. That was Peter Yarrow who sang that folk song. Pete Seeger, a member of the Universalist Unitarian Church and a peace activist, gained fame in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod when he was named a performer at the LCMS Youth Gathering in 1964. He has a question mark. Somewhere. They had problems like that at the youth gatherings back then. Wow. I don't recall whether or not his invitation was withdrawn, but this invitation caused great furor in the 60s in the LCMS. I believe it was Herman Otten in Christian News, then called Lutheran News, who brought Seeger's leftists make that communist socialist leanings to the attention of the Synod. This was one of the earlier revolutions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which led to the election of J.E.O. Preuss and the purge at the St. Louis Sem, which resulted in the Seminex walkout, writes Tom in St. Angelo, Texas.
Wow, who would have thought that Pete Seeger was mixed up in all of that? I mean,
where would the LCMS be today for not for Pete Seeger?
I mean, just think about
it. We might be ordaining openly gay, clergy.
He was there at least serving as the clarion call for those who wanted to remain Lutheran. But sad to say, they didn't do much to redeem the youth gatherings. I think they've gone way past Pete Seeger now. I mean, beach ball communion and who knows what else they have going on at the youth gatherings. But Pete Seeger would actually be considered quite tame nowadays.
By the way, we've got to go back to last week's show because Craig and I were recalling it that you were getting Pete Seeger confused with Bob Seeger.
Yes.
That's why, because it was the song Feel Like a Number.
Listening to me while I was explaining that just about 30 seconds ago?
We were kind of on the defensive. We thought that's not the way it all transpired, but maybe we weren't listening closely.
No, I think one of you actually said, who's Pete Seeger?
Yeah, I did. I'm sure I did. I have no idea what Pete Seeger is. Look, if you don't know who Pete Seeger is, you're okay in my book. But if you don't know the Motor City, Bob Seeger, you got issues.
Well, we want people to have issues. We want them to have issues. Okay, so yet another rock and roll mishap averted. I mean, first it was Sammy Hagar and Diamond Dave, and now it's Pete versus Bob Seeger. Bob Seeger by far and away, absolutely the best there is.
Quick email from Mark in Rota, Spain. He just writes, thank you so very much. God has blessed us through you. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Mark in Rota, Spain.
Thanks for listening in Spain. When we come back, more of your email. We'll respond to as much of it as we can. Talk back at issuesetc.org and some more from the Issues Etc. comment line. By the way, that number, 618-223-8384, 24/7, 365 days a year. Wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. The only days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
When you hear the words new music for your congregation, do you automatically think of mindless praise music? Well, think again. Liturgy Solutions has new compositions for all seasons of the church year that are firmly grounded in the Reformation truths of Christ for us in Word and Sacrament. Check us out on the web at www.liturgysolutions.com. At Liturgy Solutions, we don't do worship, we're deep into liturgy. www.liturgysolutions.com.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on the importance of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement. In the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support this worldwide outreach by making a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Help me, please. Get through to my baby. Way over the sea.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line on this Friday afternoon. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Before we go on, I need to correct the record. Jeff wrongly accused me at the open of the show of giving, well, I did actually say 4:30, which is a no-no because we don't produce this program for local radio. We don't, it's different time zones, all of those kind of things. I will admit to that single time reference, but if I'm not mistaken, I don't think I usually open the show with any time references. I don't think I tell you it's 3:05 every time the mic opens up or it's 4:05 every time
the mic opens up. I've never heard you give the time in all my years of working with you.
You know what it was? I don't know why I was – and you taught me not to do it from the very beginning because we always have produced Issues, et cetera, as a network program. We've always thought of it as a network program, and that is as something that is fit for national listening and not for local listening. Local radio, you give the time all the time because
– and the weather.
Yeah, you give time, weather, and you talk about those kind of things. Because it's local radio and that's your listenership. But we've never thought of our listenership, nor have we ever really had a listenership that was exclusively local, so you don't give out the times. I think the reason I did it was because I was posting something either at Twitter or at the Facebook page where I gave a time reference with the time zone, by the way, Central Standard Time, and I think it just stuck in my head. But I just don't think we're in the habit of giving people time every time the mic opens up.
No, our former employers are. The image is from LCMS Inc. is that they're running a radio station to serve the entire synod. However, listen to the programming. Much of it is geared towards St. Louis listeners, constantly giving the time. Thanks for getting off work. It's 5:05. Giving the weather reports constantly. And
they're producing local radio. I mean, and the management there needs to realize that if they're going to serve an entire church body, they got to serve an entire church body, not just one city. It may be St. Louis, maybe the dead center of Lutheranism in the United States, but it's still just one city. I mean, you have to think bigger.
If St. Louis is the dead center of Lutheranism, we're in trouble.
I said dead center of Lutheranism.
Oh, yeah, dead. Emphasis on dead.
Little double entendre there. Takes Jeff a while to pick
up. I'm a little slow.
Craig was laughing the minute I said it, so.
I didn't hear it.
It was a quiet laugh.
It wasn't a Craig Belly laugh. That's
no.
Not, that's
well, it wasn't
not
that funny
Craig.
Either.
There's this thing called a microphone, Craig. Move up and talk into it.
I was still laughing at send us a tweet on Twitter. I was still laughing at the Twitter earlier.
Look, you're going to have to get over this. You know, you're going to have to get over it. You don't have to worry. It's no threat to your manhood whatsoever. You can say tweet. It's all right. All is well. Or just leave it to me. I'll say it. All you have to do is listen to it. You don't even have to listen to it. Go back to your Sudoku. Did you see him in here ruffling through my trash can during the break? He came in, reached down to my trash can, and you stuck a newspaper in there earlier today. He was in there digging out the Sudoku from the newspaper. And when I said, what do you got? He showed me the Sudoku, and he says, I have to have something to do around here.
Hey, we're still
That's
getting...
what we mean when we call him our numbers man.
That's
He's
right.
doing Sudoku all day.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
We're still getting lots of email about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America churchwide assembly. Here's Don. This has to do with your interview with Dr. Al Culver about the relationship between women's ordination and ordaining openly gay pastors. He said, Don writes, Todd, sorry I'm late. I'm an iPod listener when my schedule allows. You pondered out loud whether the ELCA was even a Christian church. No matter how abhorrent teachings and practices within faith congregations, I think the Bible still clearly says wherever the gospel in word and sacraments are, the means of grace, there will be the church. Your remarks becloud the truth of the marks of the church. Testimony against the ELCA's recent actions can only be weakened by such false partisan-sounding cheap shots, writes Don.
Well, I hope they're only partisan-sounding because they're not intended to be partisan at all. My critique of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America pales in comparison to my critique of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America never really was on the right track with regard to the truth of the scriptures and the confessions. And so for it to go farther off the track is par for the course. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod should know better. So if it sounded partisan, I do apologize. And I did not intend it as a cheap shot in any sense whatsoever. I'm dead serious. I'm wondering whether or not the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, by so blatantly rejecting God's word, can even claim to retain the biblical gospel and sacraments. They've given up the sacraments. I mean, you want to talk marks of the church. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has abandoned the scriptural teaching on the sacraments, and they've done it by entering into communion fellowship with those church bodies that deny the presence, the bodily presence of Christ in the sacrament. And in denying the bodily presence of Christ in the sacrament and communing with them, they deny the sacrament. One mark gone. The question of baptism. They have entered into fellowship, full fellowship with denominations that deny baptismal regeneration. Strike two. Now as to the question of the gospel. Is the gospel retained in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? I would say in certain sectors, in certain congregations, among certain pastors and lay people, most certainly it is. But have they, by denying God's word in the way that they have recently and in the past, have they in fact undermined any credible claim that they have to officially holding the gospel in all its articles as the truth of God's word and proclaiming the gospel? Now, look what they've done. They've also entered into communion fellowship with denominations that deny where the resurrection of Christ can be denied and you can remain in good standing. I can't think of anything closer to the heart of the gospel than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I don't know if they would even permit in their own circles for someone to remain at the communion rail and deny the resurrection of Christ. So I'm asking the question, seriously asking the question, and thank you for pointing it out. Does the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America still credibly retain the marks of the church? If not, they cannot be called a church. It's that simple.
Another email on the ELCA Churchwide Assembly is Kevin in Corpus Christi, Texas. First of all, I really appreciate the contribution your show makes. I try to promote this among our congregation and other area clergy as much as possible. It provides some needed listening on my MP3s while I'm walking the dogs, too. I think you do that, too, sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, just one dog.
Yeah.
Although, you know
how many cats you up to now?
Okay, let's see. We've got three. We have four cats that are visible and an undetermined number of cats in utero. My daughter brought home another cat recently. About a year after she brought home the one that was pregnant the first time, she brought home another one that's pregnant, due in about 4 weeks. So, I mean, the vet says perhaps five kittens in there. So that would make, what, nine cats altogether? I don't walk them, though. I mean, I'm not one of those people who walk cats.
Could you see Wilkin with like 10 little kitty chains?
My daughter is a crazy cat lady, and it kind of extends into the rest of the family. We all become crazy cat people. But they are adorable, by the way. The new cat's name is Peaches. Beautiful little kitten that's now pregnant. So,
back to our email, Kevin in Corpus Christi, Texas. He says, to the point, much of the airtime and print that's come from our offices this past weekend, he's talking about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, in the last couple of days has been over the ELCA's decision to take a most regrettable road. When I consider this, my only reaction is profound sorrow, not so much over the church body, but over those Christians who are in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. In short, their church body has decided to monkey with their faith, and these Christians are left to wonder which shoe will drop next, something you all talked about in the show. But none of this should come as a surprise. I say that because while the homosexual resolutions passed are important and should be examined, possibly the most theologically significant resolution in this convention was a move to enter into full communion with the United Methodist Church. In reading about this move, it passed with less than 100 votes against it. This means that the ELCA now has a cast of characters with whom they are in full communion that includes church bodies that deny the real presence. United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church in America, the Reformed Church USA, the Episcopal Church USA, and now the United Methodist Church, and have a lot of trouble with the authority of Holy Scripture. The ELCA about 12 years ago issued the Joint Declaration Concerning the Doctrine of Justification in conjunction with the Roman Catholic Church. After reading through the Joint Declaration, Rome cratered on nothing. Is that a verb, cratered?
Oh, yeah. I mean, cratered usually means like to create a
okay.
crater. I don't know how the author is using it here.
Rome cratered on nothing. There's not much left to wonder on who capitulated for this to happen. In other words, this has been the determined theological road of the ELCA since it was formed back in the early 80s. I would ask the question, in this mosaic of really strange actions and bedfellows, what is the driving force? Is it social issues? Is it Wesley's deeds, not creeds? What has become the material and formal principles of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, since Scripture as the form is no longer valid? I'm not sure I could discern them. I guess that's food for thought for coming shows, since this issue isn't going to die down anytime soon. Thanks for the email, Kevin, in Corpus Christi, Texas.
I venture a guess on the material principle. Of course, the formal and material principles of theology are, these are technical terms that theologians use. They're very useful. In Orthodox Christianity, the formal principle, that which informs our theology, is Scripture alone. And the material principle, I remember it by remembering what matters most, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, or the doctrine of justification. Well, of course, the formal principle has been abandoned by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. The question that the emailer poses is, what is the material principle now? What new material principle do they have? Well, they have adopted as their formal principle whatever the culture tells them. Cultural relevance has become the formal principle of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And by the way, of a lot of evangelicalism, the material principle? A gospel of affirmation. Not of Christ and Him crucified for sinners, but of human affirmation. My guess. When we come back, more listener email and the comment line. The sooner the better. You gotta wait a minute, wait a minute.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382, and I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feidinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues, etc. 618-223-8382.
No consultants necessary. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
President Obama held a conference call with liberal religious leaders regarding his health care plan. He used multiple biblical references to criticize those who oppose his agenda. Primarily, he countered prior comments it would fund abortion. He called this not true and said these are all fabrications. The president further accused us of bearing false witness because we were spreading misinformation about his health care plan. When the president spoke at a Planned Parenthood fundraiser, he said abortion was essential and at the heart and the center of his health care plan. The truth is, abortionists would bill the federal government and be paid by the federal government. It's bearing false witness to say his plan did not fund abortion. His lack of honesty saddens me.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, September the 4th. We're going through listener email and some of our listeners' comment from the Issues, Etc. comment line. The number 618-223-8384. It's open 24 hours, 365 days a year. We want to hear from all kinds of listeners, those that agree, disagree, those who want to make suggestions, ask questions. For on-demand listeners, if they got a question from a previous show they really would like to have asked but didn't have time to do it when they heard it or listened on demand and want to still ask their question, that's what the comment line is for, 618-223-8384. Here's a listener in Houston, Texas.
Hey, guys, this is Drew. I just wanted to say I was at a conference recently, and the person said that you know, the best way to become an expert at something is to hang around with experts of that something. And it hit me that that's exactly what Issues Etc. is. Issues Etc. is an opportunity for us to hang out via the radio with all kinds of experts, and therefore to gain expertise in all sorts of issues. Of course, we can pursue it deeper, but we gain all sorts of expert understanding or expert knowledge. It might be in little bits here and there, but we can move towards expertise and all sorts of things very quickly by listening to Issues Etc. And I want to thank you for providing all that expert knowledge to us. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Drew, and thanks for listening in Texas. The great strength of this program, I mean, people like a lot of things about Issues, et cetera, and that's good, but the great strength of this program is the great stable of guests that we have. And it's just simply, I've been doing this now for 10 years, and it still is remarkable to me, the guests that we have on this program. I have learned so much, and yet every day realize there's so much more to learn. When we have these guests on, and you feel like an intellectual, theological dwarf next to them, you realize we can always be learning more of God's Word and of good, sound, critical thinking. But what we don't do here is simply try to fill airtime. I mean, we have an unprecedented opportunity with a microphone open and listeners out there with their ears open to not waste a minute of what we're doing here on the air. And this is not about just filling dead air. This is about filling that air and our listeners' ears with the very best we can possibly find. And that's our daily endeavor to do that. I mean, we have that liner that says, others talk, we have something to say. We mean it. We're not just here talking to fill up airtime or to get to the end of a segment. We are actually trying to fill that with the very best that we can. And surprisingly, it's as hard a job as it is to do this, and Jeff bears the weight of that job and guests and schedules and all those kinds of things. You don't have to look very far to find people who think well, who speak well. You don't have to look very far to find the guests. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call them, and Jeff is persistent. And it's amazing how often, once they've been on, they want to come back on and be on the program. Thank you very much. We appreciate the compliment.
Just a reminder, Soundbite of the Week, an hour from now. If you're expecting, waiting for Soundbite of the Week,
normally
wait
at
for
this
an
time,
hour.
Normally at this time, people would be playing Soundbite of the Week with us, but we've changed the Friday schedule. We decided that Soundbite of the Week really should go into hour two of Issues, etc. And we're doing that today. It'll start 1 hour from now. And it's normal old Soundbite of the Week, 4 sound bites. You can find them online right now, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. You can vote in advance. We like it if you vote during the program. Give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE.
But Jeff, my favorite segment is Blog of the Week. When's that going to be?
Glad you asked, Craig.
That was almost as bad as Pastor Charlie Hendrickson's yesterday saying, Pastor Rosso, what's the website for Steadfast Lutherans? Out of nowhere.
Oh, my goodness.
Why, Craig, Blog of the Week will be in about 20 minutes. Actually, about 23 minutes.
We haven't forgotten you, Craig. Yeah, we will have Blog of the Week, and we'll have our picks for Blog of the Week posted at our website, too, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org.
Email from Travis in Wildwood, Illinois, regarding the interview last week with Pastor Bill Swirla on the martyrdom of John the Baptist. Travis writes, John the Baptist died at the hands of Herod, who decided covering his own tail was more important than the life of John. This was a foreshadowing of Jesus' own death when Pilate decided to cover his own behind. This is now to just blame this is now not just to blame Herod and Pilate, but to recognize the true nature of sin. As Jesus says, he who hates his brother is a murderer. Every time we act or even think self-centeredly, we are hating our brothers in need and our God. The wages for this sin is death. Praise Christ for standing in our place, writes Travis in Wildwood, Illinois.
That's a very, very good insight. I can't remember when we were talking recently about the death of John the Baptist, the martyrdom of John the Baptist, but that's something that probably, if it wasn't brought out by our guest, who I believe was Dr. Peter Scare, then we should have brought it out. And that is, there is a foreshadowing, there's some deep foreshadowing of Christ's death in the death of John the Baptist, which stands to reason. He goes before him to prepare the way, not only in life, in his preaching, in his proclamation, but also in his death. Steve is calling from St. Louis. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very well.
Great. Hey, I really enjoyed, you had two Wednesday programs I thought were great. The ones on gospel reductionism and the one on the TNIV. It occurred to me that, you know, you can replace gospel reductionism with whatever the fad is in the church growth movement, because it's a form of gospel reductionism where it says, what is Jesus, you know, what can Jesus do for you? Have, you know, the, give you a happy family. And then instead of the TNIV, we have the message.
I mean, I think you're quite right. Thank you very much, Steve. No, there are remarkable parallels between old line classical liberal Christianity, where it was called gospel reductionism, and everyday ordinary garden variety American evangelicalism, where it is a doctrinal minimalism. I wrote an article several years back called Bible-Believing Liberals, where I tried to explore some of the parallels between classical Christian liberalism and modern evangelicalism, and they are striking. Doctrinal minimalism, this notion that it doesn't really matter what you believe outside the very bare gospel. That's called gospel reductionism. It's also a doctrinal minimalism. And if you point that out to American evangelicals, if you hear your pastor say something like, well, you know, I like to go by the rule that in essentials, unity, and non-essentials, charity, and in, I can't remember the rest of the saying. It was, by the way, a saying coined by someone who is on his way to denying the Christian faith. That's in the article that I wrote, Bible-Believing Liberals. But you hear your pastor say that, you cannot let it pass. You have to say, Pastor, what's essential? What's non-essential? And you will find out very quickly whether or not your pastor, whether he believes he is or not, is in fact a theological liberal. If he's got a bigger category of non-essentials than the essentials, your pastor's a liberal. It's that simple, even if he doesn't think he is. Well, here's a suggestion about a possible substitute host for Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Jeff Craig. This is Jeremy from Newark, Delaware, on-demand listener. I've been really enjoying the Lord's Prayer series that you've been doing. You're right. It's some of your best guests that you have in really having a great discussion about the Lord's Prayer. I take it you're on vacation because I don't hear any, hey, we got an email from Joe, we got a call from Sally. So I was just thinking, as I was listening to Reverend Whedon discuss Forgive Us Our Trespasses, and he's one of my favorite guests. What about having him be a guest host while you take a vacation? So I know that might scare Reverend Whedon, but I would love to just have him fill in for you when you take a vacation. But a great series, great guests, great show as always. Thanks for the word and the ministry that you do. It's a big part of my day. Thanks.
Well,
bye-bye.
Well, thank you. First of all, I have heard from more people about that Lord's Prayer series that we did. Yes, partly when we were on vacation. We pre-recorded all that stuff, and the guests were great in coming in and getting in early so that we could do that and actually take a little time off. I've heard more good stuff. One person even suggested it's got to be, we got to put the whole series together and make it part of some kind of a giveaway, which is not a bad idea. Okay, there are several reasons. I don't care who they bring in to be a guest host, but there's several reasons we don't do guest hosts anymore. And one of them is, when one of us takes off, all of us take it off. This is not a big operation. It's not like we got a bunch of stuff. This is me and Jeff and Craig. And if Jeff has to have the day off, Craig and Todd get the day off. If Craig goes fishing, which he did recently, Jeff and Todd take the day off. And if Todd's gone, then Jeff and Craig, that's the string thing. When I'm gone, they still come into the studio for some reason. They don't do the show, but they still come in and work. It's very strange. But it's a little difficult to do. We kind of have to all take it all off or come in together no matter what. But I think Whedon would make a great host. I don't think that Jeff could corral him from the other side of the glass. Whedon is a strong-willed child. I don't know if Jeff could corral him from over there. I'm very compliant. I'm very easygoing.
I'll give my thoughts on this suggestion after the break.
You will?
I'll reserve them for after the break.
Yeah, yes. I saw you giggling during the comment there. So when we come back from this break, some more of your emails, some more of your comments on this Friday afternoon. It's September the 4th, and then in hour two of Issues, Etc. Oh, we'll also get Blog of the Week in there, too, before this hour's out. Hour two, Dr. Nathan Jastrom on Moses, and Soundbite of the Week. Stay tuned.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click Promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with couple if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is not like your normal study Bible.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Whedon on the New Lutheran Study Bible.
The wisdom of the church in meditating on the Word of God across the ages is supplied throughout the notes. Any wise, good thing that's been said on the basis of some text of the Bible, they've stuck it in there. It's got prayers. The Bible is replete with these little devotional meditations. It gives you help in witnessing. How can you use this particular doctrine from God's Word at this point to bring others to Christ, to help them come to know what He's done for them? The Bible is absolutely amazing. It's got great pictures. It's got, well, you can tell I'm excited about it. And I was one who was said to be jaundiced and not appreciative of it.
Enrich your devotional life through word and prayer with the New Lutheran Study Bible. Check it out at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can buy the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Study Bible. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes of listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. I'm waiting with bated breath for your take on the suggestion that we have Pastor Will Whedon come in when I'm on vacation and guest host.
First of all, we've tried lots of different substitute hosts before. The only person that can come close to filling your shoes is Dr. Ken Sherb. You make it sound so easy.
He's a bona fide radio pro.
Yeah. You make it sound so easy when people listen that there's not much difficulty to doing a show like this. This it's not easy. There's very few people with clerical collars can do what you do. And plus, Pastor Whedon's my pastor. And you know how upset I get at you every day. I'd have to go in every break and ask for private confession and absolution during every break. I could see him like giving him cues to breaks and what's that tube for?
Jeff, what are you saying? Yeah. Craig, why are you waving your arms?
Just come in here and tell me. Come in here and tell me. What's the deal?
Well, open
the door.
I think what would likely happen is you'd be giving him the break and you'd be telling him to wrap it up. And what people don't see if they've never seen the show done, and many who come by and visit do get to see the show done, is that what you hear is about – it's the tip of the iceberg. It's only 10% of what's actually going on around in the middle of the show. And is it a job that takes an awful lot of experience? Yes, it does, especially when we have a highly produced show like we do. But most of it is just being able, as I say, it's two things from the host standpoint. Number one, knowing how to ask a simple question. Number two, I've actually got three, being able to talk, say one thing and think another at the same time, which is an acquired skill. And then just being able to watch a clock.
if you can watch a clock. The last one, I think, is the one that most guest or substitute hosts have a real hard time doing. You know, they see that you're giving them a 30-second signal, and they stop talking. Or they disregard it altogether. And it's just, I mean, they call it clock management. It's not rocket science. But the only reason I'm able to do that is because Jeff has insisted that we maintain a clock discipline on the show, that we don't flow breaks around and stuff like that. We're not like Rush Limbaugh, where he'll put a break off until 2 minutes before the end of the show, and then you get 14 minutes of commercials because he's jammed all his breaks into the end of the show. We just don't do it because, again, we're trying to produce this for a national audience where people need to listen, and the stations need to be accommodated with their clock. So,
but it's more than just a clock, too. It's also a pastor willing to look. I know the answer to that question, so I'm not going to ask the guest that question. You sit there, and you're sitting in the chair representing lay people out there. Questions that they're afraid to ask their pastor, or the typical lay person would like to ask their pastor, and they never have before. So you have to kind of swallow your pride. I mean, I always tell people Wilkin knows the answers to 99% of the questions he asks, but you couldn't tell listen to the show. So it's just because somebody makes a great guest doesn't make him a great host.
Yeah, although we've never tested Whedon in the chair before. I mean, it would be interesting to see. But I'd see. Here's the thing: you wouldn't. I know you, Jeff. You wouldn't take off the gloves like you do with me. I see how you act.
He's my pastor.
When Whedon walks in this door, you are on your best behavior. There's no two ways about it. And that's not necessarily true when other pastors are in here. But believe me, when they're all out of the door and it's just the three of us in here, he's not on his best behavior. So I just don't think you could actually do your job, which is you have to be able to yell at people. You have to be able to insist on stuff. And I just don't think I think you'd handle them with kid gloves.
Hey, when we have in-studio guests, I seldom yell at you. I might Craig, like, can you believe he just did that?
But that's because they're guests here.
I know, exactly. Company. So I'm just saying it's no different to Whedon than it is other pastors. I just don't try to be a boob when we have people in studio. That's why I prefer phone guests.
That's true.
Quick email, Mark in St. Louis. I listen to radio over the computer. I don't listen to music, and most of it is not worth it. Mostly I listen to sports talk because I can't stand the politics. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod owns an FM station in St. Louis that plays mostly classical music. Here comes the dumb question part. Why don't they play Orthodox Christian hymns and lots of Christmas carols? I would really love something like that, writes Mark in St. Louis.
You know, they will play he's talking about Classic 99 in St. Louis, that Jeff and I have had considerable things to say about in the past, part of our former employer. And if you listen at Christmas, they'll play sacred music, or Easter. I understand from internal information at KFUO that they bumped up the amount of sacred music when Classic 99 was threatened with possible sale. And they used to do this all the time. They used to play sacred music when the Lutherans were in town, when the Lutheran boards and commissions and whatnot left town. They'd go back to kind of pop classical fare. But it's a good question, Steve. I mean, why not more sacred music? It is not as though there is a dearth of sacred music in the classical tradition. And it's not as though this radio station isn't, at least presently for the time being, with the clock ticking down very rapidly, still owned and operated by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I mean, there's really no reason, and it's not like their ad revenue could drop anymore by playing classical sacred music. And it would be a better use of the airwaves there, but it's a good question. You know, I suggest you call over there and ask them. They might be able to give you an answer. Time for one more comment from the comment line.
Hi, this is Martha in Louisville, Kentucky. On the issue of the NIV and gender-neutral language, just 2 points. I think this issue falls under the category of itching ears. To focus on what is really not the significant points of Scripture is a way to insinuate casting doubt on the veracity of Scripture. It's a reinterpretation, it's a translation. Not a translation, it's a paraphrase even. Also, it's another short slide on that slippery slope. So liberalism and the NIV has been used by conservative evangelicals for a long time, and I wonder if that's not more indication that they'd be willing to go down that liberal road, which we do see in the emergent church where a lot of young evangelicals are ending up. So I just really think this is a smokescreen for more radical issues. So thank you very much. Bye.
Oh, I agree, and I think your first assessment there was right on the mark, and that is this is precisely what St. Paul warns against when he says in those latter days they will find a great number of teachers to gather around themselves to tell them what their itching ears want to hear. That's the best assessment of the whole inclusive language thing altogether. Thank you very much for all the comments and the email.